Y'all doing? Doing all right. We're going to be, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. Was asked just last Sunday night to fill in tonight. I've been working on something for the paper. The Lord's been dealing with me on trials and temptations. And not necessarily dealing with those trials and temptations, but more of how I respond to trials and temptations. Most of the time, and I'm sure most of y'all are like me, I tend to look at myself and think, well, I can handle this. Then when I realize that it's more than I can handle, then, well, Lord, I've tried all I can do. I need you. But in all actuality, it should be the other way around. Should go to the Lord and just from the get-go. I can't have it. He's in control anyway. But sometimes that's difficult to do. So tonight, I want to share some scriptures with us. We expand on those scriptures a little bit of some things that I found in the scriptures about dealing with trials or temptations. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you in the precious name of Christ, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to stand behind the pulpit, Lord, and share your word. Lord, I ask you to meet with us tonight. I ask you to help us, Lord, to see your word and understand your word. In Christ's name, amen. Here in this verse, it starts off by telling us there's no temptations that have taken us that are not common to man or common to mankind. So basically that we all suffer the same trials and temptations in this life. It tells us that will not be more than what we can bear. And sometimes people stop there and they use this verse out of context and say, well, look, this verse plainly says that the Lord will not put more on you or more of a temptation or trial than you are able to bear. But then we need to look at the last part of this verse. And it says, tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. What is that way to escape? The Lord, Christ. The things that too many times I have to confess that I'm guilty of going to last. Where do we find those things? Where do we find the strength and the encouragement to help us overcome these trials and temptations that let us know that He is in control of all things, that all we have to do is put our faith and trust in Him? We find those things in the Scriptures. So if we don't know, we don't study the Scriptures, we don't know to look to Him in those times of need, in those times that we should. And too many times, unfortunately, I look to Him last instead of in the beginning. It's where I should go in the beginning. And I know the Word tells me that I can trust in Him. And He always works it out once I look to Him. So, but it's just hard to get in that habit of doing it first. And that's what He's been dealing with me about lately. But I want to look. We're going to look at some examples in the Scriptures. We're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 10 through 17. And most of us know that Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about the armor of God, or God's armor. And so that should kind of let us know right there where we should be looking when we face trials and temptations. It's God's armor, right? So we should be looking to God for those things. So in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So the first thing we see when we start looking at this is we see to be strong in who? The Lord and in the power of His might. It tells us right there that it's His might, not ours. In verse 10, finally, in verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So you need to put on His armor. Again, there it tells us it's God's armor. It's not ours to put on. It's not something that we've tested and tried, but that He has. I think about, I've been going through the life of David, and I think about when David fought Goliath and Saul gave him armor, he told him that he wouldn't use his armor because he hadn't proved it yet. Well, God's armor has been proved. We should be able to trust in it. And in verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So that tells us there, it's not, it's, It's not the person that we see on the street corners who walk down the street, or the person we see at the grocery store that's our adversary. It's causing us these trials and temptations. It's the wickedness, the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. So who is that? Satan and his armies fighting against us because we are God's. In verse 13 it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Again, here it tells us that it's God's armor, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Notice in the last part of that verse, it tells us that we need to put on God's armor so that we're able to withstand. But in the end of that verse, it says withstand, and it says, and having done all, to stand. Doesn't say having done all to fight. Doesn't say having done all to go out and do this on your own. And I think about that, as most of y'all know, I spent some time in the military. And I think about that, and the world's militaries and armies, they do all they can to protect their nation or to go defend their nation. And it seems like the U.S. does a little bit more. We go out to be 911 of the world when somebody else is in trouble. But here it doesn't tell us to go out and do anything. It tells us to stand. So why are we able to stand? Because we don't need to do anything. It's God's armor. He's going to fight the battle. He's going to take care of it. There's nothing for us to do. There's nothing we can do to defeat Satan. The only thing we can do is keep our faith and trust in Him that He will. In verse 14, it starts off and says, "Stand there, having your loins girded about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness." And here we see in verse 14 that we start to see some of the components of God's armor. It starts off and tells us to gird our loins, or gird about ourselves with truth. The only place that we can truly find truth is in the Scriptures. And then, in the last part of the verse says, is having the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate to cover your body, the breastplate of righteousness. Well, the only righteousness we have as Christians comes from where? It's imputed to us from Christ. It's nothing of our own, nothing of us. See how all of these things, as we start to look at this, all of this points us to Christ. All of this points us to the Lord. It doesn't point to us defending ourselves. It's His armor, His truth, His righteousness. Verse 15, "And your feet sod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Teaches us here to sod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, thus that we may march forward motivated by obedience from the knowledge of the gospel, even amidst our trials and tribulations. And the only way we can do those things and march forward for the Lord in the midst of those is by faith, is to have our faith and our trust in Him. And in verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And notice there it says, we must rely on that. We take, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Does that mean that we can quench those darts? No. Our faith in Him, and He does that. But the only way we see it is by having our faith in Him. So it tells us that we must rely on faith in the Lord through His Word to quench those fiery darts that Satan throw at us. So again, all this stuff we've looked at so far teaches us to rely on Him, that it all comes from Him. It's not of us. Verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." It tells us to put on a helmet of salvation, which symbolizes the expectation of eternal victory. What gives us eternal victory? Salvation, which comes from Christ. Same thing the rest of this is pointing us to. And then, because of God's salvation of our soul, that should be the helmet to guard our thoughts and our temptations in our mind. Brother Jeremy talks this morning about taking every thought captive. How can we do that? And even if we do take those thoughts captive, how do we know which ones are right or not? Only from the Word. Leads us to the last part of verse 17. And it says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And so I read behind some of the commentators here. You notice that the sword, in this whole armor that we looked at, the sword is the only offensive weapon. Everything else is designed to protect us. The sword is the only offensive weapon. One of the commentators that I read behind said the reason this was the only offensive weapon is because it's up to us to learn and study God's Word, to know what His Word tells us to do. So that's the only thing in this armor that was kind of for us to do. But even in that, it's still His Word, not ours. It's His truth. Some notes I made there, the Word can be used as an assault on our temptations because it will keep our minds, if we keep our minds focused on the Word, it will subdue our evil desires and thoughts. A single text of Scripture, rightly understood and applied, can destroy our lustful and evil thoughts. We can find an example. And then, so we can see that the Word, keeping the Word fresh in our minds, if we are focused on the Word, we're not going to be focused on these temptations and things that bombard us, that Satan tries to bombard us with. And if you do slip off into those temptations, how many times does Satan try to convince us that, oh, you goofed up, the Lord doesn't want you back anymore? You got to fight this all by yourself. He's not going to help you fight it anymore. Well, we all know that's a lie. It's just another trickery temptation of the devil. What did Jesus use to fight off the temptations of the devil? Use the Word. Let's take a look in Luke chapter 4. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And he brought him into Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And if their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answered, saying unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we know in these scriptures that Jesus used scripture to answer Satan in these tempted times. But as I read this, I was like, well, what scriptures did Christ use? Typically when we talk about it, we go through this passage, we acknowledge that Christ used scriptures, but we never acknowledge which scriptures it is. So I did a little research and looked some of these up, did some word searches and found some of them. In verse 4, when he answered, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That answer comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3 says this, And be humbled thee, and suffer thee to hunger, and feed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. In verse 8, his answer, he says, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I found this in a few verses. The one I chose to include in my notes is in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And it says, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So if you serve the, if we serve the Lord with all our heart and all our soul, we have no room to serve any other God. As Jesus answered him here. In verse 12, Jesus answered and said unto him, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." I found this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. And it says, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah." So here we found the verse, not tempting the Lord. So here we see that Christ used scriptures to fight off the temptations of Satan. And as I studied this and I looked at this, I started wondering in my mind, when I'm tempted, is it that I rely on myself first because I don't know the scriptures well enough? Is it because that I don't know which scripture I should go to and look at for strength and encouragement? And if I don't, whose fault is that? It's mine. And I have a scripture that tells us that it's my fault. If we can look at 2 Timothy, and I'll just say the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Some of the commentators that I read behind, they said that this verse was meant for the ministry. That it was meant for ministers because it was Paul writing to Timothy. I don't believe that what Paul wrote to Timothy was just meant for Timothy, or just meant for men that are called to the ministry. I believe that we're all in the ministry of the Lord. If we're saved, we all have a ministry to witness to others and tell others the good news of the gospel, or tell others about Christ. And how can we do that? How can we do that and answer a question of somebody we're witnessing to if we don't know the scriptures? We can't. And so one of the things that this verse teaches us is that we should study the word of God to show ourselves approved to who? God. Then said that we should show ourselves approved to each other. Too many times I may look in the mirror and say, "That's good enough for today." Good enough by what standard? By mine? Convince myself that I had studied enough or I'd done enough for one day. Look up a workman. A workman is someone that is not lazy or is not unfaithful to do the work of the Lord. And then rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you rightly divide the word of truth? You have to do studies like we do here. I thank God that we have a church that's focused on the word. And that we dig in the word and we look for those truths in the word. And we find those things, those nuggets, if you will, that help us understand God's word. Not bragging on us, but I do believe that's the right way to do it. Because that allows us to know what those truths are and what the Word is teaching us so that we can apply it to our lives and we can live by it. Another example of temptations and looking to the Word, we've been going through the book of Job in Sunday school before we started our Doctrines of Grace videos on the Sundays that I teach. And we all know if you ask anybody that knows anything about a trial or a tribulation in the Bible, a lot of people think of Job. Job is known to be one of the worst trials and tribulations on a person in the scriptures. But his friends come and they spend time with him while he's grieved. And in chapter 4, one of his friends, Eliphaz, starts to speak to him. And in the beginning of that chapter, Eliphaz is trying to encourage Job. And he reminds Job that he had used scriptures to encourage others. And then he kind of questions Job. Are these same scriptures that you've used to encourage others, are they not good enough for you? Brought to remembrance, as Brother Jeremy taught us this morning, out of 2 Peter, Eliphaz wanted to bring to remembrance of Job those scriptures that he had used. And remind him that the same scriptures he's used to comfort others, those same scriptures still hold the truths and encouragement that can encourage him in his time of trials and tribulations. That the same God was on the throne when he told somebody else about him is still on the throne during his trial and tribulation. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I get stuck in the same rut as Job. It's easy to tell somebody else that I'm praying for you. It's easy to tell somebody else a scripture of encouragement. It's easy to open my Bible and show that scripture to somebody else. But it's not always easy to look in the mirror and open my Bible and say, yeah, that scripture can encourage me too. That's not always the easy part when I face trials and tribulations. We looked at some examples in our message tonight of the Word. Knowing the Word. Leaning on the Lord as Christians. Well, I went back to the verse in 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved. And I disagree with the commentators that said that was just a ministry. I think it's for all Christians that we can use the Word to get us through trials and tribulations and temptations for His honor and glory. Not so that we can look and say, well, I knew this, so it helped me through it. It's not about what I knew that helped me. It's that I knew He could help me through it. Just because if I could get myself through it, I'd have been in the same boat that I started off before He started dealing with me on how I respond to these. I'd still be responding with me, which is not the right way to respond. The right way is to lean on Him. And in closing, I just want to encourage us to trust in the Lord and His Word, and in all things, to trust in Him and not try to depend on ourselves, which I have to confess too many times that I'm guilty of. Brother Jeremy, that's all I got, brother.